El Trumbo, which they might as well have just titled, we're giving Bryan Cranston the Academy Award now.
Let's
just hand it to him.
Question mark?
Question mark. Well, there's not a lot of competition this year.
Hey, Joe does funny accents all the time. Where's his Oscar?
Yeah, it's true. I can overact the shit out of it.
Leo slept in a bear.
What?
Yeah, he didn't read it for The Revenant.
Oh, you're talking about The Revenant? Yeah. Well, we haven't seen The Revenant yet.
Okay.
And admittedly...
Is that what we're reviewing?
Yeah, we're reviewing The Revenant.
We haven't seen The Revenant yet, I think poor Leo, he wants his Oscar so bad, and he's never gotten it. And there's so little competition this year, it may, in fact, be his year.
Whoa, we haven't seen Creed yet, okay?
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan is just gonna Apollo the shit out of that.
You mean Rocky 7?
Isn't it?
It's not Rocky 7?
But we're not talking about Rocky 7 or The Revenant or anything else except for Trumbo, the film by Jay Roach, who I thought was kind of an odd choice to direct this thing.
Yeah.
About American screenwriter Dalton Trumbo, who was one of the victims of the communist blacklisting of writers in Hollywood in the 1950s.
Victims?
Yes, victims.
Victims, Chris. Or Pinko commies.
Well, I happen to like quite a few pinko commies, as it turns out.
Okay, Chairman Mao.
No.
Chairman Meow.
I was going to say, it's Chairman Meow. That part is accurate.
Yeah, maybe the American Podcasters for Ethics Committee needs to hear about your communist
of America.
Dies.
America. This is America.
You realize that if there was such a thing, we'd all be reporting in front of Congress by now?
Hey, I know that if I lived in the 50s, they would have burned me at the stake.
They totally would have.
Yeah. That's what they did, right?
Yeah, but we wouldn't have them to listen to you because you'd be a woman.
I know. I know. Women are never important in period pieces.
There would be no show about two hunky guys who regularly use satanic implements to fight.
There would be. There totally would be, but it would be gayer.
No, it was 77 Sunset Strip. Like, they already made it.
Bryan Cranston plays the titular Trumbo here. That's just the most wonderful name ever. Dalton Trumbo.
I know. Yeah. Why couldn't I have a cool name?
I know. My name is so boring. I still give my parents like crap all the time. Like, my last name is Cox, and you really just went with Chris?
It should have been Xavier.
It was the 70s. You could have called me Aragorn or something. But Bryan Cranston, who has, of course, has been a television hero for some time now.
What was he in?
Josh.
Malcolm in the Middle?
Oh, yeah. The Clerks animated series? Yeah.
Finally gets a proper vehicle in Hollywood to show that he can be a leading man in a film as well here. But, of course, he's backed up by one hell of a cast. You've got Diane Lane as his wife, Cleo Trumbo. Helen Mirren as the nastiest bitch in the world, Helen.
With head Betty Gabler. Wonderful hats.
With wonderful hats, who was like a gossip columnist who kind of led the way to the blacklisting.
I think she took all of her hats from Elizabeth Banks in The Hunger Games.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Louis C.K. is in here as one of his friends.
Michael, as himself.
Pretty much. Michael Stuhlbarg is Edwin G. Robinson, who I thought did the most convincing impression of any of the actors.
Yeah, because he wasn't over the top about it.
Well, a lot of the people in here were, like, playing... They cast people who don't look anything like the actors they're playing, quite frankly. And neither were they really trying to do strong impressions.
Yeah, I appreciated that John Wayne wasn't all over the place.
Yeah, he was saying, but looked nothing like him.
Oh, my God, no. Yeah, he looked like Patrick Warburton.
Kind of.
And John Goodman playing, like, a schlockmaster, Frank King, which I thought was funny considering he's played William Castle before in a role. And this is basically the same part. You know, this producer who said, I don't give a fuck about the blacklist. We'll pay you shit money for shit scripts so you can keep working during this blacklist. So many good people in this. Steven Root is in this. Alan Tudyk, who looks like he's put on a bit of weight.
Hey, he's getting older.
I'm just saying. Adewale Akinnuoyi Agbaji has a small but intimidating role.
Was that Mr. Echo?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's why Lost ended like it did.
Why?
Because
the blacklist.
Chris,
the blacklist.
Duh.
That was a bit of a tenuous connection you just made there.
Hey,
and maybe
Lost.
Even racist. I'm not sure.
It's Mr. Echo.
Yes, but blacklist.
That was you who said that.
Well, what other connection?
That's the evil on you.
I was just making a Lost.
Well, and they both had fog monsters, so don't play dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, this film was boring. Sorry.
What, really?
No, the cast was amazing. The performances were amazing, but style?
Well,
no,
style? I will hand it to you that this is a film that is a actor showcase.
Yeah.
100%. And even a writer showcase, because the dialogue in this is actually pretty goddamn good. And mm-hmm. it's for, you know, mainly for on Cranston's benefit. And Dalton Trumbo really was bigger than life, exactly mm-hmm. how Cranston's playing him. I mean, he was like a Truman Capote-sized character.
Yeah. You know? There was definitely, vistas were destroyed as scenes were chewed.
But that was really what Dalton Trumbo was like.
No, I get it, but it also distracted me because it was just like, Cranston's doing a character.
Yep,
and exactly. He's usually far more subtle than that, but if he's living up to Trumbo, okay. But, you know, just as a note, Bri,
man,
it took me out of it. It really did.
I couldn't disagree more. I thought that Bryan Cranston's performance as Trumbo was mesmerizing watching this thing.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, I even wrote on the thing afterwards, I was like, really great performances and an interesting topic, but couldn't really put my finger, it didn't really work for me.
Yeah. That's how I felt. I think a lot of it had to do with it didn't have much finesse or style.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
It was very like, here are actors, we have a camera, this is the movie. I mean, I am totally on the same page with you that like this was an actor's piece, but it wasn't a director's, a cinematographer's, an editor's piece. And even the music score was bad. I mean, there were moments where it was like, oh, soft, sad, sentimental music. And it was like they just chose from the catalog.
I don't normally like pay too much attention to score, but this one did jump out at me because I'm like, what movie is this making me think of? It's not making me think of this movie, but they totally ripped it from another movie.
I agree with everything you guys are saying in terms of I thought this was kind of workmanlike in the way it was directed. In fact, it felt like a really good television movie is what it felt like, which is which is unfortunate because maybe your problem with Cranston is that he was so much bigger than the material and the way it was being filmed.
Don't try to spin Joe's words as positive.
What I said is what I said.
Well, when Joe said shit sandwich, he meant a good sandwich.
You know, like not
gourmet.
Too soggy. Yeah.
You fry shit in the right kind of butter and you add a little curry and everything, it tastes pretty good.
But no, like one of the things that for a movie with Otto Preminger in it, yeah, it wasn't especially well directed. But like when they would intersplice old footage with their own make 'em up old footage, it's like, dude, Forrest Gump nailed that shit. What's wrong with you guys?
And they only did that in the first act. They stopped after they ran out of footage, which was kind of like, all right, obviously, there's no footage of them like hanging out at home, but it ruined a bit of the tone.
See, I didn't have a problem with any. I didn't have a problem with any of that except for the scenes from Spartacus, because I'm so hyper familiar with that film that it was really weird that they show the other actor who's actually in the film, and then it'll switch back to the guy playing Kirk Douglas.
Is Kirk Douglas actually a midget? Or a little
person.
Pretty
short.
He's
pretty short. But that guy, it was funny, the actor they had playing him, the only way he really looked like him was in the way he wore his shirts.
Yeah.
Because Kirk Douglas always had those weird, really tight, you can see his nipples shirts.
Yeah. That's called sex appeal.
That was Dino Gorman played that role.
His butt chin wasn't deep enough.
That's true. It wasn't. Not even close to
deep. Not even close. Yeah.
And I wish he would have done Kirk Douglas as voiced in The Critic. The TV show in the 90s. That would have been like on Cranston level hammy, and then it would have balanced out.
But like I said, I mean, you guys are saying that the direction was bad. I can't go that far. It was just workmanlike.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't just bad.
It was just devoid of any particular sense of style.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is about the worst thing about it, which honestly, I thought the script was good enough personally, mm-hmm. and the performances were good enough that it deserved better.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
I think this would have been that much more impressive of a film if that had some level of balance or art to it. As it is, they're trying to cover so much ground that you just feel like it's trying too frantically to jump from one conversation to the next at points.
Yeah, I felt there was a few setups that just weren't paid off. So it's kind of like, just don't put that in there.
Structurally, there was a few issues. Like, I couldn't really tell how long he was in prison for until he got out and his kids were all of a sudden like,
Prison, it didn't seem that bad. Like, this film actually kind of reminded me of, it's not totally the same, but it kind of reminded me of the Charlie Chaplin biopic
that came with out. Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, that it was like good acting and makes sense, but it's telling so much over 2 hours that it kind of lacked substance.
Well, I do like that to really humanize him and root him as a human being. They're like, okay, his relationship with his oldest daughter, but the other two are just dog shit.
I know. The boy had like one line. The phone's for you.
Well, I mean, like, you don't really want to spend a lot longer in the film either getting to know the kids who didn't do anything pertinent.
And the wife who, clearly her only job was to be there for her husband.
Yeah, inspiration.
I know it was the 40s and 50s and 60s or whatever.
What do you want them to invent some new story when it didn't happen?
No, but clearly she has her own shit, and they're like, she's just like, everything has to do with you, and I'm your slave, which she was. I don't think he was paying her.
And she was a goddamn acrobat. She could have been out solving groovy mysteries with acrobats.
I know, and the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, she did. Diane Lane did get a chance to juggle, which was impressive during this.
Was that CGI? Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe she actually knows how to juggle and was one of those and told the director, well, you know, I actually can juggle.
No, Let's put it in the flick.
We'll find a way. Why, did she know how to juggle? Who cares?
No, she did the Meryl Streep thing. She hung out with Rick Springfield for a month and then figured out how to juggle.
See, that would be Meryl
Streep. Joe reference.
Yeah. No, I get it. I didn't see that movie, but... Yeah.
Who did?
No one, apparently.
Yeah.
Wait, was Meryl Streep not in this movie?
No, Meryl Streep, by law, can only be in 700 movies a year.
Oh, so okay, so that would have been over the limit. The top, right?
Would have been over the limit.
Yeah, that's called Defoe's Law.
So you know what's funny? Like, I was kind of worried going into this. I was like, Dalton Trumbo, I know the name. Have I even seen or Trumbo read? And then it, like, flashed on the screen at the very beginning. Johnny got his gun. I was like, I read that. And I seen Spartacus. But the other stuff, I have to admit.
I haven't seen it all either. Yeah. I mean, I've seen Roman Holiday, which is kind of a product of its time.
Yeah.
It kind of drags on, to be honest. I was a little surprised that's still as highly regarded as it is. Because I'm like, it's all right. It's not really much of a story. Yeah. and I had never even heard of... What was the other one that won?
The Brave One.
The Brave One, until I was looking him up. I was like, the Brave One? What the fuck was that? That won Best Picture?
It looked fun. Yeah. About a boy who cries.
But, you know, I mean, the story here, I think one of my biggest problems that I had here, my main problem with this, is that there is certainly a lot of balance to be shown with today, with what's happening with this blacklist, and the film just dodges around that in such a completely oblivious way that I felt like they were actively avoiding it. You know, you don't have to hit us over the head with it, but at the same time, like, if you want to say, look how terrible it is that all these people were blacklisted because of mania that was being spouted by a very small group of people that got everyone afraid and paranoid, you know, if you want to say, look at what happened, it's much more pertinent if you say, and it's still happening.
Yep.
You know, and the movie never just didn't really... It felt like it was trying to depoliticize itself, which is weird considering, ultimately, it's a very political film.
Yeah. And it didn't seem that bad to be on the blacklist. He had his nice house while he was still in prison.
It wasn't that bad for him.
Yeah. It's like, and then they're like, at the end, they're like, and oh, by the way, it mostly affected like workers and people making barely over minimum wage and all that kind of stuff. But let's focus on these millionaires.
Interesting. Yeah, teachers, doctors, and like, they were all fucked.
Which is ironic for a film that is like about a guy that was a communist and a true believer. And that, you know, working man's rights, and yet it never even approaches dealing with the guys who actually were put out of their homes and stuff. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that happened too.
Moved into a nice suburban neighborhood in Los Angeles, like, and they're like, oh my god, we have neighbors, we're so poor.
I don't have a lake anymore, and I'm mad.
They took away my lake, those fascists.
I would be mad if they took my lake away. I mean, once I had gotten used to my lake.
Yeah, he even had a spotted pony. He was gone.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened to the pony? Did they have to eat it?
No, it's probably glue.
That's on the cutting room floor where he has to go up to it and go, sorry, look away. So you can you see the rabbits, George?
He's like gluing all the scripts together.
That's one of the things I noticed is that he typed on all of his scripts out on really expensive paper.
Yeah, nice linen paper.
Each of those sheets was like 50 cents.
I used to work at a copy store. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, that's like the priciest paper there is.
Well, only the best for his, King Kong versus whatever scripts he was writing.
Versus syphilis.
The greatest enemy.
I would totally watch that movie for the record.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kong, but I'm afraid you have syphilis.
Should never have picked up that ape hooker at the train station. That's what happens. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Sarah, start this one out.
I think the greatest message that we can take away from this film is don't smoke.
I thought you were going to say love conquers nothing.
Love doesn't conquer anything. Stand by your man, and don't worry, everything will turn out well in the end. My biggest issue with this film is the complete lack of style. I enjoyed Cranston, but towards the end, I was getting a little sick of whatever accent that was supposed to be. Like, not British, not American, kind of somewhere in the middle. I was just not wowed by it. I thought it was going to be, an Oscar film. And it probably is. And Cranston's probably going to win. But it's like you said, Chris, there isn't that much to choose from in terms of best actor category here.
It's been a really shitty year for film.
And the winner goes to, by default...
Yeah. Isn't that how Dalton Trumbull won?
They're like, wait a minute, Mark Wahlberg?
It is a movie about like how movies are made, and those tend to do well.
So. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So my rating for this is going to be 6 out of 10 little scraps of paper that fell in the bathtub.
Joe. Well, after watching such a movie...
Do it in the accent.
I don't actually remember what the accent
was. It was kind of English, but not, or something. I was just, the whole time I was watching it, actually, I was thinking, I feel like this is a character Joe would do on RPG.
Well, maybe with a few more watches I might do it, but...
Just practice.
Yeah. You go ahead and you look at that, and you take what little slivers of humanity you can from such a piece, such as... the value of a clawfoot tub, working from that clawfoot tub, smoking while in that clawfoot tub, and, of course, drinking scotch while in that clawfoot tub.
You're totally selling me on this.
That's what I'm saying. These are things to which one should aspire. But then you have to actually think about the being hammy and the lack of direction. And it leaves you with only, I'd say, 7 out of 10 Edward G. Robinson ascots.
Would you like an after-dinner mint after you've chewed that scenery, sir?
Only if it's served with scotch.
I was going to say, what's your rating now? Give me a rating now!
That was pretty good.
JC?
There's a scene here that does kind of sum up my thoughts of the movie, in which Kirk Douglas like lays down a big old script for Spartacus, and it's clearly a super long movie, and he's like, there's a good story in there somewhere.
And that's, Lord of the Rings!
Yeah. And so, after when it ended, that's kind of how I felt. I'm like, it's an interesting topic, the performances were good, like I said. Maybe it's J. Roach's fault, maybe it's not. There's something there. They just... maybe didn't explore it enough or didn't really care to give it to us, or maybe they didn't even try. I don't know.
They really should have hired Dalton Trumbo for Punch Up.
I know. What's he doing nowadays?
Just clawing desperately the inside of his coffin lid, maybe?
Cool, zombie Trumbo. Hey, you guys had zombie Ernest Hemingway. Now it's time for zombie Trumbo.
It would have been cool to see a really bad impersonation of Stanley Kubrick on the set of Spartacus.
I know! That's what I was waiting for! As soon as Kirk Douglas came on, I was like, yes! Yes! Somebody's gonna be Stanley Kubrick.
Because he even was like, Stanley Kubrick is kind of a pain in the ass. And I would have liked to have seen that.
They were afraid that zombie Kubrick was going to come out and murder them.
Right. That's kind of how I feel about it. It's a good afternoon if you really want to get out and see a movie and see a good performance, and especially if you're a huge Bryan Cranston fan. And beyond that, I didn't feel like there's a lot here. I'd give it 5 out of 10 spotted ponies.
Ooh, shots Oscar fired. Shots fired on Chris.
So I clearly am the one who liked this the best. Whereas I agree with you. I think Jay Roach was a bizarre choice. This is a guy who does nothing but mediocre comedies his whole career. Like, he's had a few hits, but even then, they're hits that you look back and you go, yeah, I don't want to ever watch Austin Powers again.
What?
Yeah. Or Meet the Parents, you know.
Obie, hey.
But Meet the Fockers.
Barbara.
It was written by John McNamara, who I believe this is the first thing he's ever written that wasn't for television. I think this is his first actual cinematic script. And you can tell to some degree that that's true. Fortunately, they had lots and lots of actual written stuff by Trumbo and quotes and, you know, interviews to go from. And it almost feels like the best sequences in here are stuff that where you can tell it was taken directly from stuff Trumbo actually said, because he was really known for being one of those guys whose diamonds just fell out of his mouth in interviews. He always had something super clever to say, even though that drives some people crazy. There's a funny bit where Louis C.K. keeps going, just stop talking. Why does everything you say have to sound like it's inscribed on a statue somewhere? But I personally thought Bryan Cranston did Trumbo perfectly. I enjoyed the hell out of his performance. Thought he was so mesmerizing that he really carries this whole film in a way that made it where, despite this film's, you know, problems being like I said, utterly workmanlike for so much of it, I still found myself just glued to the screen and having a great time all the way through it, and reminding myself of how mad I get at stupid people.
Excuse me, why did you look at me?
Yeah, we're right here, Chris.
Yeah.
Not you guys.
People, other stupid people is what he's saying. People,
like the blacklisters.
There he goes again, racism.
Because they literally were blacklisters. Not black people. That was what they did.
See, why did you point it out? Then it's weirder that way.
Now it seems
strange. Their last name Lister?
No. Okay, anyway. Moving on.
Or black.
I still think this is a thoroughly enjoyable film. I think not a lot of people even know nowadays that this happened. And it was like not very long ago at all. So I still am going to give this 8 out of 10 twinkles in Bryan Cranston's eyes.
Oh.
What?
That's referring to sperm, right?
No. Why you
That's
gotta
usually
make it,
what that means.
Why you,
always that
gotta make it, why you always gotta make it a sex thing?
Why you gotta make it not a sex thing and turn it racist?
Yeah.
Look, we all have our crosses to bear.
Or burn, in your case.
There wasn't enough burning in this movie.
Enough burning?
Yeah.
You think fire would have added something to this?
Yeah, I mean, he was in a bathtub.
That's true. He specifically said the whole world could burn down and I'm in a bathtub. It's going to be okay.
Please tell me he actually said that.
I don't know.
Because that had to be something he said, because that was pretty good.
People say good things when they're in the tub, just no one's around to hear them.
Well, this there are a lot of people experience. Around when I'm in the bath.
Yes, and tune in to her reality show where you can see.